This is ESPN Radio.
Put your fours up. That's right. It's hour number four on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio at ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And we want you to jump in on the conversation because we've been chopping it up about the Warriors' win over the Brooklyn Nets all show long. The number on the Dr. Pepper line is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And one of the spinoffs from the conversation we've been having, Gojo, is about what's happened to James Harden. And we know that the new rules change has affected a way that he actually plays, not being able to get some easy looks at the free throw line, not being able to draw fouls like he's accustomed to, defenders being able to get more up on him and not being able to necessarily be able to navigate that. So it begs the question, is James Harden a top 10 player in the NBA still? Because if you ask that question, you know, the last several years, the answer is a resounding yes. Now, I'm not so certain.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we have to at least think about it now, right? Because I think we all kind of know the stock names that are involved in this conversation, right? We finished off last year, if we work from the top to the bottom, we finished off last year having the discussion about Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kevin Durant as probably the top player in the world, right? And so we would have at least those two in the top ranks. LeBron James is going to be involved in there and out, from there on out here. I mean, you've got last year's MVP and Nikola Jokic, who's probably going to be somewhere in this conversation here. And then what? You've got Kawhi Leonard on a healthy day. We don't know if we're going to get that back anymore right now. So looking out at the rest of this, Chris, you've got all those guys involved in the mix here. You've got Steph Curry firmly back in this conversation. You've certainly got, on his best day, if he's healthy, Kyrie Irving's probably in that said same conversation. And so you get all the way down that. To me, the question starts to become, you look at James Harden, and then you look at some of the more young up-and-comers in all this, right?
Yeah. I mean, you look at Luka Doncic, you look at what Ja Morant is doing, who has somehow added an outside shot to his game, and he looks like he's nearly unstoppable. I think he has to be a part of the conversation. Also, somebody that's overlooked, Dame Dollars, Damian Lillard. I mean, we always overlook him out there with the Portland Trailblazers. I guess it's because we don't necessarily see them having the kind of postseason success that we would associate with the top-tier players in the NBA. Joel Embiid, I know he stays hurt a lot, and he's out right now for the Sixers, but seeing him not on the court and what that team has kind of devolved into, knowing that they're struggling on their current road trip. So, yeah, I mean, that would probably round out the top 10 for me. I mean, I just, when I'm sitting here making a list, James Harden is nowhere to be found when it comes to the top 10 players in the NBA. And like I said, when he was with the Houston Rockets and he was winning scoring titles, there was no question that James Harden was a top 10 player, and you could probably make an argument that he was a top 5 player and one of the greatest scorers, if not the best scorer in all of the NBA today. So that's just, it's one of those things to kind of see that, I don't know, regression from him as a player, and I guess we have to attribute some of that to the injury that he was dealing with last year, the hamstring that didn't allow him to train the way that he wanted to, according to their head coach Steve Nash. But I mean, at some point, you have to put that behind you and you have to step up knowing that your team is absent of Kyrie Irving. And to this point in the season, James Harden just hadn't done that.
Yeah, well, and I think, Chris, like, that's something we really need to take account of, right? Dealing with a hamstring injury for most of the offseason. In the same offseason where the rules were changed almost specifically to combat what him and Trae Young had been doing relentlessly in drawing fouls in a way that no one enjoyed watching. And so when you combine all that together, it kind of makes sense it was going to take him a while to figure out how he's being officiated now. We probably didn't expect it to take this long. But Chris, if you're asking me to bet my hard-earned dollars on, is James Harden going to end the season as a top 10 player in the NBA? I'm probably going to say yes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. Just because we've got enough data points, we've seen enough from James Harden, a large enough sample size where it's like, okay, I can assign this level of greatness to him. But I feel like we run the risk of falling into that same trap that was the Brooklyn Nets from 2020, whereas we're assigning this level of success to these players and this team, even though they haven't necessarily all played together on the court at the same time, even though we haven't necessarily seen it. We just know that when they're together on the court, when it matters the most, these guys are going to step up and they're going to get to where we would expect their talent level would take them, which is an NBA Finals. And it didn't work out like that last year. They didn't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So I feel like it's a fine line when we start talking about that big picture with the Brooklyn Nets, but also when it comes to individual success of the parts that they have on that team, James Harden included. So I'm with you. I think that James Harden, if I had to bet it, is going to be more of the guy that we saw in Houston when he was in his prime. But I can't say that with my chest, Gojo, and I guess that's a part of the problem that the Brooklyn Nets are dealing with right now, especially being absent Kyrie.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Kenny. And I will say, Chris, I know they didn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They were like one Kevin Durant shoe size away from that being a very different story when he was the only one left out there. So it was a thin margin of victory for Milwaukee as they marched towards the finals. We all talked about that in real time, but what ends up being the case this year with this team feels a lot different because everything felt easy for them last year. There was really nothing in the way of resistance until they got to the postseason last year in a way that almost felt very unfun. So now as we try and unpack what's gone on with this team, it's hard to not circle back to Kyrie Irving. And that is where Stephen A. Smith, host of First Take, went earlier today when he talked about the Nets situation. I got to say, Stephen A. Smith's the only person that could deliver a shout-out that felt like you were catching a stray. Like, Tony and Jose had to be worried for a second.
No question about it, but I got to push back and disagree with my man S.A. on one thing. That wasn't just the only good thing at the Barclays Center right last night, because them uniforms that the Brooklyn Nets had on, those throwbacks with the throwback logo on the court, those were fire. Like, I don't know where he – like, that's the part that he failed to mention. Like, those uniforms look dope. Too bad the guys that were actually in them – didn't actually come to play. But the one thing I will say is when we knew Kevin Durant made this decision to go to Brooklyn, this was going to be an upstart in terms of trying to create a culture, but also develop a fan base. I mean, this team has been in Brooklyn since 2012. They were in New Jersey before that. It wasn't like it was necessarily a situation that you were going to have this huge following. I mean, the basketball mecca for New York City is Madison Square Garden, and that's where the Knicks play. So it was going to be a tall ask for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden to be able to somehow get a transient group together as a fan base for this team to get them to rally behind it. So more often than not, the crowd at the Barclays Center, they're coming to see the attractions that are coming into town rather than to see Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie go to work, which is a shame. But that's what it is.
It is a shame, but that is what they knew. And if they really thought their gravity was going to be enough, they came over here, and you know what they were last year? They were the bad guys. They were the strong and silent type, too, because they didn't really say much. They didn't really give us as much of the fireworks as we were expecting. But they were the bad guys last year. They represented so much of what people didn't want to see win, and the Milwaukee Bucks represented what a lot of people did like. This was a bet on talent. The culture was what lured them here, and the talent was supposed to be what got them over the hump. And right now, this is as simple as one piece of that talent puzzle not being on the court, and another piece of that being probably injured and not performing right now. We'll wait to see what happens as they go along here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet's hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, though, are the Nets fans getting a bad rap for just showing some love to a Steph Curry performance that we all enjoyed getting to watch? We'll head out to Brooklyn next and ask here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
So for more on what went on inside the Barclays Center last night, we want to go to the Goodyear Hotline and welcome in our friend Christian Winfield, covers the Nets for the New York Daily News, co-host of the Believe in Nets podcast with Kenny Anderson. And Christian, does everyone else feel as bad as Stephen A. does about this situation right now?
Even if they're not saying it out loud, I think in the back of everyone's minds, it's just tough to kind of like comprehend where this team would be with Kyrie and where they are right now. It's two different teams, right? And I've written about this. The Nets, you know, the record speaks for itself. Well, it doesn't speak for itself, right? They're 10-5. Before yesterday, they were 10-4, tied for first place. But as I wrote, you know, they had beaten teams that were of a lesser caliber, right? And when you see what happened in the season opener in Milwaukee, when you see what happened when the Miami Heat came to town, when you see what happened when the Nets went to Chicago, even though it was in the second game of a back-to-back, and then you look at what happened last night against the Warriors, I mean, it's just tough to see where the Nets are going to be able to make up, you know, some of the ground. It's not just talent. It's a lot of these teams have been together for some time, right? Like, you look at Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr, they can just plug in different guys. The system stays the same. You could say the same thing for Milwaukee. You could say the same thing for Miami. That culture's been in place for, what, decades now. The Nets are having an identity crisis. They don't know who they are yet, and they're missing that last superstar, right? Because you don't really need to know who you are if you've got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Yeah. You're going to be a team that's going to try to score 140 points on you guys. And now it's just tough. They don't have Kyrie, don't know when he's coming back. And if the losses start to pile up, specifically these types of losses against the teams that you're going to have to get through in the playoffs to win a championship, it's not going to look good.
Things to come out of last night's game is the fact that the Brooklyn Nets crowd was chanting MVP, and it wasn't for the guy in the Nets uniform that had been playing at an MVP level for the first month of the season. It was for Chef Curry. Were you surprised to actually see the Brooklyn crowd react to Chef Curry and the Golden State Warriors the way they did last night?
You know, it kind of felt like I was at a game in, what, San Francisco, where the Warriors play now, right?
Wow.
Like, you look around, you see a bunch of Warriors jerseys. You see Curry. You see Thompson, who wasn't even playing. You see Green, you know, and it's just, you know, I've been told that, you know, Warriors fans travel pretty well. It was a similar thing when the Miami Heat came to town. Heat fans came in, chanting MVP for Jimmy Butler and Bam. You know, it happens, right? Some teams travel very, very well. But it's just not, you know, Kevin Durant is that guy in this town, right? You want to have that guy being showered with MVP votes. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he heard it, even if we didn't really get a chance to ask him if he heard the MVP chance. But that's not really what you want as a hometown. As this is the guy who you signed through 2025 through 2026, right? That's how long his contract extension is going to last. You want to show him some love. And I'm granted, Nets fans do show Kevin Durant some love. We've heard MVP chants for him throughout the season. But, I mean, to have Steph come in, and it's not just the chance. I mean, Steph just outplayed everybody on the floor. I mean, came in, hung 37, hit 9 threes, could have hit 10. Steve Kerr pulled him with, what, 5 minutes to go. And then after the whistle, he banks in like a 35-footer. It's just ridiculous how he can shoot. But, I mean, it just goes to show you that this team has a long way to go, and not just on the floor. We're talking off the court as well.
Christian Winfield with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Off the court, has there been any renewed conversation around Kyrie Irving? Is there renewed pressure from guys on this team to try and get him out here and try to get him vaccinated?
Well, if there is, they sure ain't talking about it. You know, we asked Steve Nash what his conversations have been like with Kyrie recently, and he said, hey, we don't even talk basketball. We just talk about life. But those conversations, for a while, they didn't talk to him. I think Steve Nash, I think we had asked him 3 or so weeks after the Nets had ruled that he's ineligible to not just play at Barclays, but practice, even though he's allowed to practice. There's no vaccine mandate for the Nets practice facility. He could be playing on the road with this team, but the Nets decided that wouldn't be the best course of action. And for some time, Steve Nash and the players said, hey, we haven't really spoken to him. They're focusing on the team as is. But I've got to believe that as we start creeping closer to that trade deadline, which is in February, these conversations are going to pick back up. Because from what I've gathered from the situation was the Nets were going to try to hold out hope for as long as possible, be it for a change in the vaccine mandate, which we know now is not happening. Eric Adams came out and said on CNN, New York City isn't changing the mandate. So now what is it, right? Is Kyrie going to get vaccinated? Well, I wouldn't bet my money on that. So what happens next, right? Either you trade him and get something back, or something has to be worked out between the league and Kyrie. And I don't know what that looks like. You know, we asked Eric Adams about it. We asked the lieutenant governor here about it as well. And they seem to think that there is something that can be worked out between Kyrie and the NBA that would allow Kyrie to play home games at Barclays Center. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's the message the league wants to send, that they'll bend the rules for one player. Man, I don't know that the Nets just want to sit there and pay Kyrie, what, 33? Well, I think he gets half the salary, so that'd be $17 million this year.
Ooh.
Just for sitting at home doing nothing, right? And Steve Nash doesn't even know. We've asked him about this throughout the season. He doesn't know what type of conditioning Kyrie is doing at home, doesn't know what type of working out he's doing, doesn't really know anything, right? And I mean, I guess Kyrie likes it that way, right? He's a guy that likes to be private and in the dark, but these are the people that are paying him a great salary. These are the people that brought him here to win a championship. I have a hard time believing that anyone is happy with the status quo.
And we're going to see how long that continues to hold, because if these struggles continue in marquee games that we're all watching, best believe this conversation's only going to get louder. Guys, check out Christian Winfield. You can read him at the New York Daily News. You can listen to him on the Believe in Nets podcast with Kenny Anderson. Christian, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
Awesome stuff. Again, you can check him out at Chris Splashed on Twitter. Coming up next, though, we got to look ahead of the NFL weekend. We're past the midway point in the season. We're past the midway point in the week. And we got some big ones coming up this weekend. We may not be in must-win territory, but we think we got some can't-lose action for you next. We'll explain the difference after we tell you about this that you can check out here on ESPN. It's the man in the arena. You join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady's meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. It's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and the Religion of Sports. It's a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast is going to examine the improbable ripple effects of Tom Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, and fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. And you can stream the docuseries on ESPN Plus. Must win or can't lose next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
There we go. We got the Brooklyn music going. This is Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Kenny, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Gojo, ahead of week 11, we feel like it's getting around that time where teams start to make their move and position themselves for a playoff run. As your dad said earlier this week, it's kind of like moving day in golf. That Saturday, getting ready for Championship Sunday. It feels like that's the point we're at in the NFL calendar. And we got some critical games on the slate for some teams that fancy themselves as playoff caliber squads. So I feel like we got to dive into these matchups and break them down a little bit, not from the perspective of must win, but maybe from the perspective of can't lose.
Yeah, we can get a little bit of both of these going here, Chris. And we'll get hyped for this one right now. Matt, like, can we get some music underneath this, if you don't mind? I need to feel saucy while I go must win or can't lose here.
Here we go.
I just want the blood pumping a little bit here. That's all it is, Chris. Because you're right. There is a difference here. Because must win implies that we're nearing elimination. And in a 17-game season, where especially in the AFC, we got this sort of glut of teams right in the middle, no one's nearing elimination. But there are some of these that are going to start to feel a little dire. So I want to start with this one. The Indianapolis Colts are at Buffalo this weekend, Chris. Buffalo's 7-point favorites in this game. Are you going must win or can't lose for the Indianapolis Colts here?
I'm going can't lose for the Indianapolis Colts. Like, at this point, like, this game means more to them than the Buffalo Bills. Like, the Bills are right there. They're tied in the win column with the New England Patriots. But with the Indianapolis Colts, they're three games back in the win column with their AFC South rival Tennessee Titans, and it might as well be 3.5 games or 4 games because they swept them in the season series. So this is a situation right now where the Colts are clinging onto their wild card lives, and I don't necessarily feel like they can drop another one when you consider the other teams that are in the wild card picture in the AFC. If you stop the season now and the playoffs started, the Colts would be on the outside looking in, and the wild card teams would be the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Chargers. So I'm not going to say this is must win, but this is certainly can't lose for the Indianapolis Colts.
Chris, I actually agree, because when you look at what's coming up, bit of a meat grinder to end the season for the Colts. They go on the road against the Bills. Then they host the Buccaneers at home. They get a reprieve against the Texans, but then it's the Patriots and then on the road against the Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh.
That is a brutal slate for a team trying to make this, and they need to start to curry some of that goodwill now and just go out and execute against a top-quality team like Buffalo. So I'm with you, can't lose on that one. Let's go here, because we love a good old-fashioned revenge game. We saw Dan Quinn get a little revenge last week as the Dallas Cowboys tuned up his former Atlanta Falcons. How about this? Washington at Carolina. Chris, Carolina 3.5-point favorites, and Cam Newton, we'd imagine, going to be the starter against Ron Rivera, his former coach, and a Washington football team that, listen, needed a quarterback, could have had a chance, and did not apparently pick up the phone for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'm going to go shouldn't lose on this one. I know the game is can't lose, must win, but I'm going to go shouldn't lose on this one just because I feel like the Panthers do have a little bit of a cushion when it comes to that seventh seed in the NFC. Like, I just look around at the teams that are going to be competing for that, the likes of the Atlanta Falcons or the Minnesota Vikings, the San Francisco 49ers, and I have more confidence. Even if you want to throw Philadelphia Eagles in there, you can too. But I have more confidence in the Carolina Panthers based on what I've seen from that defense this season. That being said, they're playing the Washington football team, a three-win team. They got the win last week against Tampa. I get it. But this is still a really bad football team, and they've just lost their best player in Chase Young. He's done for the year with an ACL injury. So that's not going to allow the football team to take advantage of the biggest weakness that the Carolina Panthers have, which is their offensive line. So I'm not going to say this is a can't lose, but this is a shouldn't lose for Carolina.
I'm going to go can't lose on this one, Chris, just for what you just said. The weakness of that Washington team, or the strength of that Washington team, to be clear, that has not always performed like the strength this season. That
true.
Defense on that
true.
Side of the ball. But you lose Chase Young. You're coming off of a win that should let everyone know, hey, we can't just sleepwalk into this situation. And you add that added motivation of not only Cam Newton trying to show everyone he still got it, but this Panthers team and David Tepper from the top down. That move to bring Cam Newton in was a signal to everyone that we're not playing games right now. And I feel like that's got to start this weekend when we look at that team. Let's get this one in here too. Cincinnati Bengals at the Las Vegas Raiders. Chris, the Bengals 1-point favorites on the road in this game. Must win or can't lose really for either of these teams.
This can't lose for both of them. Like, I feel like this is an elimination game from playoff contention when you look at the landscape of the AFC. And I get it. It's a hodgepodge. There's a bunch of teams that are right there, 5 wins or 6 wins. But both of these teams have dropped back-to-back games, and it feels like the team that loses 3 in a row is probably going to find themselves on the outside looking in when it comes to the AFC playoffs. So, yeah, I'm going to say this is can't lose for both teams. And I would probably say you need to have a little more urgency if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and Zach Taylor, just because this is year 3 of your program. You need to have some results to show for it. You got the franchise quarterback in year 2, and you've seen Joe Burrow make strides in his second year in the NFL. But you got to have something to show for it. You got a tougher division that you're talking about playing in when you look at the AFC North in comparison to the AFC West. So, yeah, I'm going to say it probably has more implications for the Cincinnati Bengals than the Las Vegas Raiders, but both of them are right there. I don't think either team can afford to drop this one.
I'll go must win for the Cincinnati Bengals. You drop 2 in a row against the Jets and then let the Browns boat race you like that? You've been embarrassed. Like,
fair.
Those aren't L's. Those are embarrassments. And for a team that we were ready to crown as one of the AFC elite not too long ago, you did not handle success the way teams on the top end do. They've got to show that they can just be successful again, let alone get back to that point. So I think there's a lot of eyes on the Bengals. But, Chris, I really want to get to this one.
Mm-mm.
Kenny Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Must win, can't lose. The Detroit Lions, 0-8-1, by the way. No longer defeated. Also tied. On the road at Cleveland. Chris, the Browns are 10.5-point favorites. Their quarterback says he may have never been more banged up in his career than he is heading into this game. And they just got punched in the mouth with a F by the New England Patriots this last weekend. I'm going to say it right for me. This is a must-win for the Cleveland Browns. You can't even flirt with it in this game.
Yeah, you can't let the Detroit Lions get healthy on you. Like, you saw them. They took the Pittsburgh Steelers to the brink. And it came really close with a Ryan Santoso missed field goal. Otherwise, another AFC North opponent or a rival of yours would have caught the fade from the Detroit Lions. You know this is going to be a scrappy team. They just ended their losing streak. And so now that they're going to be playing with a little more confidence, but they're still going to be hungry because they ain't got a win. They don't have a win right now to date on this season. So, yeah, if you're Cleveland, this is one of those spots that you better be careful, because even though you thought last week was embarrassing, this week could be even more so if you lose to the winless Detroit Lions. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one. This is a must win for Baker Mayfield and company.
I mean, this is – you want to talk about the inordinate conversation and the amount of blame we place on Baker Mayfield, the future contract talk, the Browns being the Browns.
Yeah.
It all catches on fire if you lose to this team here. Canty and Golic Jr., must win, can't lose. We want to remind you, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily wherever you enjoy your podcast. You can also download, subscribe, and review Canty and Golic Jr. wherever you get your podcast. We put it up on there every day. But coming up next, when you go out and ball like a hero, the reward should match the deed. We will show you one college football player that got just what he deserved. Next on ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. An all guest appeared via the Goodyear Hotline. Got to give a shout out to the guest that joined us on the show today. SEC Network host Peter Burns, getting us straight with the college football playoff rankings. David Jacoby, co-host of Jalen and Jacoby, jumping on to talk a little bit of NBA. ESPN NFL Insider and host of the Adam Schefter podcast, Adam Schefter, giving us the latest on news and notes around the National Football League. And New York Daily News reporter Christian Winfield trying to break down exactly what's wrong with the Brooklyn Nets after their beatdown at the hands of the Golden State Warriors last night. If you missed any of it, all you got to do is go to the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, download, rate, and subscribe. We really appreciate you with that. But Gojo, we've reached the portion of our program where it's time for us to go three and out, so let's do it.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is Three and Out.
It is Three and Out here, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. And sometimes, even though we say three, we got to call ISO and let someone take the rock right at the top of the key. That would be Stephen A. Smith, who, after the Golden State Warriors came in and blew out the Brooklyn Nets on their home court, had this to say about their team. Shout out to Tony and Jose. That's all I have to say.
Right, I'm telling you, everybody in the Borough of Kings is catching a stray from Stephen A., except for Tony and Jose. Man. Stephen A. had some passion behind that one, but guess what? He wasn't wrong, because it felt like there were more fans in the building to cheer on the Golden State Warriors as they demolished the Brooklyn Nets, especially in that third quarter, than there are fans that were actually there to cheer on Brooklyn. It's crazy to think that that's what it was, and that was the dynamic, but when you got your fan base chanting MVP, and it's for a player on the other team named Steph Curry and not for Kevin Durant, who has been playing at an MVP-type level, it is embarrassing for the entirety of the fan base. So, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets fans, they got to wear that one, because that was a bad look.
Not great, Bob. Not great. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's get to something that is great here. You guys remember Jared Casey, the walk-on fullback for Kansas that caught the two-point conversion that sealed their win against Texas. It snapped about every losing streak that you could muster up if you wanted to, the most impressive of which to me was Kansas had not won a road Big 12 game since 2008. 2008, when I graduated high school. So walk-on fullback Jared Casey, kind of a hero around those parts. And after that win, he was rewarded as such, Chris, because he, because of NIL now being something, the name, image, and likeness of college players that they can make money on, got deals with Applebee's in Kansas, as well as Lewis Automotive in Topeka, Kansas, and Hayes, Kansas, which is close to his hometown of Plainville. He shot a commercial for the Applebee's on Tuesday. He had a TV crew following him on campus. Chris, he hadn't played an offensive snap for the Jayhawks until this past Saturday, and now he might be the king of Lawrence.
I love it, man. Good on him, man. He's giving 2 for 20 for everybody that's on the team at Applebee's. I'm all about it, all about him being able to capitalize on having this moment. We talked about this a little bit in the pre-show meeting, Gojo. He looks like a keg that has legs when he was running in there on the end zone to catch that pass. Happy for him. Happy that he got to celebrate it with his family. The one thing I will say, though, in all of this, man, and I know this is kind of taking a shot here, but I don't know. Can Kansas come up with some better helmets? Because the Jayhawk on the side of the helmet was a bad look. I'm just saying.
You like the old school Jayhawk?
Nah, man. Nah, Rock Chalk, that's not going to work for me. Yeah.
Hey, man, listen.
Rock chalk and throw that in the river somewhere. That's not going to work.
Chris, you know how this works with coaches and with universities. Now that they won this game with those helmets, we might see those damn near every week from here on out here.
No.
So congrats to the young man for balling out. Jared Casey took care of business. Spain and Fitz going to take care of business next on ESPN Radio.